If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, we're going to be looking at verses 27 all the way through 33 this morning. Would you stand with me as we honor the reading of the incredible Word of God? Mark 11, 27 says, "And they came to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, 'By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?' Jesus said to them, 'I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me.' And they discussed it with one another, saying, 'If we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? But shall we say from man?' They were afraid of the people, for they all held that John was really a prophet. So they answered, 'Jesus, we do not know.' And Jesus said to them, 'Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things.'" God, we come before your throne. We open up ourselves to you this morning. We ask and pray that you would look inside of our hearts. We ask and pray, God, that you would reveal what areas in our lives that we are not letting go of, areas in our lives that we are holding on to, areas in our lives, Father, that we have not given you full authority. So God, may your word speak to us right now. And may we be a people who would listen to you and listen to your word. And may we be a people who would respond to you based on what your word says and based on the conviction of the Holy Spirit. God, you know every heart in this place today. God, you know every need, every concern, every issue, every life. And God, today, as only you can, by the gentleness of your spirit, God, we just ask and pray that you would meet with us today. Lord, you know what you want to say to us corporately. Lord, you know what you want to say to us individually. You know how you want to speak into our marriages. You know how you want to speak into our lives. So God, we just ask and pray today that you would do that as only you can by just the power of your incredible spirit. We love you, Father. We love you, and we say today that we desperately, desperately need you. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. I love this time of the year. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I'm not as crazy as Jeremiah. You know, I'm not getting my stuff out like before Halloween, all right? But I love this time of the year. I love stopping and just celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the prophet Isaiah said, hundreds of years before Christ was born, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And it happened. Just like the prophet said, it took place. Matthew 1 tells us, an angel told Joseph, "Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And Jesus was born. And he starts his ministry at the age of 30. And as we have worked through this wonderful book of Mark, we have seen the beautiful ministry of Jesus just unfold right in front of us. In the passage of scripture that we're looking at today, Jesus has arrived on the scene in Jerusalem. And whenever he arrives there, he immediately gets to work. If you remember, Jesus goes into the temple there in Jerusalem. And the temple was this sacred place of worship, this sacred place of sacrifice, this sacred place of prayer. And Jesus completely disrupts a corrupt system of worship that is taking place inside of the temple. He kicks out people who are selling animals at an inflated price for sacrifice. He overturns the money changers exchanging money at an overblown price. And then Jesus, he makes this declaration in Mark chapter 11. He says, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers"? I mean, who is Jesus to say this? Who is Jesus to do this? Who is Jesus to march into this temple in Jerusalem, this place of worship, this place of sacrifice, this place of prayer, and to disrupt their corrupt system of worship? You see, there is one point to this message this morning, and it is very simple. Jesus has all authority. Jesus has all authority. So Jesus goes into the temple. He disrupts their corrupt system of worship. In verse 28, they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them?" In other words, they're saying to Jesus, "Who do you think you are? Jesus, what gives you the right to come into this place and to overturn these tables? What gives you the right to come into this place and to kick people out of here?" You see, church family, Jesus Christ has every right because Jesus Christ has all authority. This would be like you or I going on a mission trip and going into a Buddhist temple and walking in there and just literally going postal inside of the place, kicking over their statues, knocking over all of their false gods. The word authority that Mark uses here is the Greek word exousia. It means right, privilege, the liberty of doing as one pleases. And Jesus can do what he did because he has the ability, the all-seeing eyes, to recognize false worship, to recognize corrupt worship. And he has the authority to disrupt it. Jesus has all authority, Matthew chapter 7. "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." John chapter 5, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to also have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man." John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Paul says, "Jesus is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And Jesus came and said to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Listen, church family, Jesus Christ has all authority. He has all authority over every piece of DNA, over creation, over evil, over sickness, over tragedy, over every atom, over every speck of dust. He has all authority to forgive sin. He has authority to heal. He has authority over death. He has authority over life. He has authority over hell. He has authority over eternal life. And Jesus Christ has authority over you and I. Jesus Christ has all authority. Amen? Amen. Now, I told you there was one point to this message, and that is it. So we can all leave this place and go eat some pizza. I'm glad no one said amen. Thank you for not saying that. Jesus has all authority. We understand that this morning, and you may even agree with that. But here are some questions that you and I must ask ourselves today. The first question is this: am I questioning his authority? Because this is what the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders did. Again, look at verse 28. They said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Or who gave you this authority to do them. You see, they were questioning Jesus' authority to do what he did in the temple. And this wasn't the only time that they had questioned Jesus. They had been rejecting him and questioning him his entire ministry. If you have kids or grandchildren in this place, you'll understand what I'm getting ready to say. There's times where I'll tell my sons to do something, and even my daughter, but she can't quite argue back yet, but I'll tell my sons to do something, and a lot of times they'll say something like this, as kids often do. Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why do I need to eat? Or why do I need to get my clothes on? And my response to them is always something like this. Because I said so, right? Because I said so. Did you know that any time you or I do not obey the word of God, we question his authority? You might say this morning, well, how? If obeying his word is an option, then we are questioning whether or not his word is right. And if we question whether or not his word is right by considering whether or not we will obey it or not, we are questioning his authority. We are questioning whether or not his way is best, whether or not his way is right. If you remember this man in the Bible by the name of Job, Job was a man who had it all. He had everything one could possibly imagine. And then Job lost it all. He lost everything. He lost his family, wife, children, home, resources, money, cattle, livestock, you name it. Job lost it all, even his health. And there was a point in time in the life of Job where he was questioning God. If you have your Bibles, or turn into your Bibles with me to the book of Job. Hold your spot there in Mark chapter 11. We're going to come back there. But if you're wondering where Job is, go to the middle of your Bible. It's somewhere in there. Go to the book of Psalms and work your way to the left. And I want us to look at this passage of Scripture this morning, Job chapter 38. And the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at is a little bit lengthy. But it will serve us well. It will do us well to remind us of the sovereignty of God, to remind us of the authority of God. You see, Job had lost it all. And there was a point in time in his life where he was questioning God. And notice how God responds to Job as Job is questioning him. Let this passage of Scripture remind you of the authority that God has. Job 38, starting in verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who has kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb, as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness? For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this is God speaking, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop. Job, have you ever commanded the morning to appear and cause the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As light approaches, the earth takes shape like clay pressed beneath a sill. It's robed in brilliant colors. The light disturbs the wicked and stops the arm that is raised in violence. Job, have you explored the springs from which the seas come? Have you explored their depths? Job, do you know where the gates of death are located? Have you seen the gates of utter gloom? Do you realize the extent of the earth? Tell me if you know. Where does light come from and where does darkness go? Can you take each to its home? Do you know how to get there? But of course, you know all this. He uses sarcasm here. For you were born before it was all created, and you are so very experienced. Job, have you visited the storehouses of snow or seen the storehouses of hell? I have reserved them as weapons for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. Where is the path and source of light? Where is the home of the east wind? Who created a channel for the torrents of rain? Who laid out the path for the lightning? Who makes the rain fall on barren land in a desert where no one lives? Who sends rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Does the rain have a father? Who gives birth to the dew? Who is mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from heavens? For the water turns to ice as hard rock, and the surface of the water freezes. Can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the cluster of the Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion? Those are constellations. Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens? Those are more constellations. Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct? Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind? Who is wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven when the parched ground is dry and the soil has hardened into clods? You see, church family, God can do anything. He is sovereign over all. Who am I to question his authority? Who am I to question his word? Am I questioning his authority? Another question that you and I must ask. Am I submitting to his absolute authority? Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question, answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Answer me. And they discussed it with one another, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, they were afraid of the people, for they all held that John was really a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus answers their question with a question, and he asks them about the ministry of John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist, his ministry was all about Jesus. He was the cousin of Jesus. He came before Jesus, and his ministry was all about Jesus. It pointed to Jesus Christ. And the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders would not recognize the ministry of John the Baptist. Because if they recognized the ministry of John the Baptist, that meant that they were recognizing Jesus, because John's ministry pointed to Jesus. But if they didn't recognize John's ministry, they feared the people, because the people regarded John as a prophet. They loved John. And the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, they would not submit to the authority of Jesus. And all they could say back to Jesus was, I don't know. We do not know. You see, church family, if we do not submit to the absolute authority of Jesus Christ, we cannot stand firm on anything. The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders couldn't. They couldn't stand firm. All they could answer was, we do not know. And when you and I submit to the absolute authority of Jesus, the absolute authority of his incredible, incredible word, we do not have to be unsure about anything this world throws at us. Because this world is going to throw all kinds of things at us. But whenever we stand on the authority of Jesus Christ, we can be sure about everything. The world will have questions like these without for sure answers that I'm getting ready to ask. But whenever we stand on the authority of the Word of God, we know answers like these, to questions like these. How does a person get to heaven? Many people in the world will say, I don't know. Or Or they'll have many different answers for how a person gets to heaven. But whenever we stand on the authority of Christ, on the authority of the word of Christ, we answer this question like this. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, the world may have questions like this. Where is true joy found? And the world will give many different answers for a question like this. But whenever we stand on the authority of Christ, on the word of Christ, we answer that question like this. True joy is found in walking with Christ. King David said, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What is truth? Again, the world would answer that question in many different ways. And again, whenever we stand on the authority of Christ, we answer that question like this. Truth is found in Christ. John 8, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Where does truth come from? It comes from Christ. It comes from the word of Christ. What direction should I go with my life? Again, the world would answer that question in many different ways. The world would even say, go in whatever direction you want to go. Go in whatever direction makes you feel good. But we answer that question like this. I'm going in the direction that Jesus tells me to. Because James 4 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You see, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, they would not submit to the authority of Christ. And therefore, they could not answer his question. But whenever we submit to the authority of Christ, we can answer any question the world throws at us. Jesus has all authority. Another question that you and I must ask ourselves as we consider the authority of Christ. Am I standing on his absolute authority? The world will make this claim that authority can come from many different places and in many different ways. The world will say, how you feel is the ultimate authority. What you think is the ultimate authority. Your truth, what you think about things is the ultimate authority. No, what Facebook says must be the right authority. What this person's blog says, and it's on the internet, that's right, right? What Oprah says, what Ellen says must be the ultimate authority. Oh, if the majority of the world is doing it, that must be correct. That must be ultimate authority. A.W. Tozer says, if I look at the world, I will conform to the ways of the world. If I look at the word, I will conform to the will of God. Jesus has all authority. Am I standing on his authority? Am I ashamed of this absolute authority? Paul told Titus, he said, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. And he says, declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Paul told Titus, stand up against anything that goes against the authority of Jesus Christ. He told him to exhort and to rebuke with all authority. He said, Titus, stand upon the authority of Christ. Don't be ashamed of the authority of Christ. I love what Spurgeon says. He says, I think that there is scarcely a Christian man that has been able to go all the way to heaven and yet quietly hide himself and run from bush to bush, skulking, which means creeping, into glory. Christianity and cowardice, what a contradiction in terms. So why should we stand upon the authority of Christ? Because if we do not, we will be blown away and tossed about by everything that the world says. Paul says in Ephesians, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. It's their responsibility to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Am I standing upon the authority of Christ? Am I standing upon the word of Christ, or am I simply going along with everything that the world says? Jesus has all authority. Am I questioning that authority? Or do I trust in his absolute and sovereign authority? Am I submitting to his absolute authority? Whenever I am performing a marriage or doing marriage counseling or performing a wedding ceremony, I always use that scripture where Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands. And a lot of times in this world, we'll say that word, submit, and people are like, submit? You're crazy. I'm not submitting to anybody. I'm not submitting to anything. That's a very tough word to use in our day and age, but I always tell the couple that I'm marrying, that word submit, it often gets a bad rap. But you know what? It's not a bad word. It's a good word. It's a very biblical word. It's in the Bible. That word submit, it simply means to come up under. It means to follow the leadership of. And I always challenge the husband. Your wife is called to follow your leadership. But the responsibility actually falls back on you, the husband, to give the wife something good to follow, to give the wife something godly to follow. The responsibility falls back on you, the husband, to give her something good, someone good to follow. That's the same thing here. To submit to the authority of Christ, it's not a bad thing. Guess what? It's a good thing, right? It's a great thing. Because here's the deal. We submit to the authority of Christ because we have someone perfect to follow, right? His ways are perfect. His word is perfect. Everything that his word says to do is perfect. It's right. Even if we don't feel like it, it's still perfect. Even if it goes against what the world is doing, even if it goes against what culture is doing, it's still right. It's still perfect. Why should we submit to the authority of Christ? What do you and I get whenever we submit to the authority of Christ? You know what we get? An abundant life. What do we get? You get a life that you could never, ever imagine. Ever. In John, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm just going to stop right there. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? It's Satan. It's the devil. And whenever we choose to not walk under the umbrella of authority of Christ, whenever we choose to, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to go this direction. I understand the word tells me to do this, but I'm going to go in this direction because it feels right, or the world is doing this. Whenever we choose to walk out from under the umbrella of authority of Christ, guess what happens? Satan has an inroad right at us. Because we're not walking under the authority of Christ. Those fiery darts that the Bible talks about, they come right at us because we're not walking under the authority of Christ. But whenever we walk under the authority of Christ, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it goes against my flesh, even when I don't understand it, this next part comes true for you and I. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. You receive an abundant life. You receive a life that you can never, ever imagine. You see, whenever you submit to the authority of Christ and walk under that authority, listen, you lose nothing. You gain everything. How is God speaking to you? Would you bow your heads with me? I have one question for you this morning. It's this. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? What do you mean, Caleb? I mean, is Jesus Christ the boss of your life? Is Jesus Christ the guide of your life? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? How does he become Lord? How does he become Savior? Why do you need him to become Lord? Why do you need him to become Savior? Because the Bible says without Christ as Lord of your life, without him being the Savior of your life, you are dead in your sin. You are dead in your trespasses. Without Christ being the authority of your life, the Bible makes it very, very clear that you are lost. What's that mean? It means that if you were to pass from this earth, unfortunately, today, if you are lost and Christ is not your Lord, you will go to a very real place called hell. Is Christ your Lord? Does he have authority over your life? The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of your transgressions. Saved from the penalty of your sin. And the penalty of your sin is a very real place called hell. It's death. It's separation from God for all of eternity. That's why you need Christ to be your Savior. You can't do good things for him to be your Savior. You simply have to receive the free gift of salvation. And whenever you do that, that means Christ is your Lord and you follow him, submitting to his absolute authority. I'm not going to water it down for you. You're either going to follow Christ or you're not when he is your Lord. You can call on him to save you, but understand that it's a commitment to follow him. You can call on him right now. You can say something like this to God in a prayer from your heart. God, I know that I'm a sinner. God, I admit that. And God, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. God, I confess that he is Lord. God, I ask that Jesus, that I would make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I want to do that right now. And I want to live my life to honor him. Jesus, would you come and have authority over me and my life? And if you said that to God this morning and you meant it from the depths of your heart, the Bible says that you're a Christian. What do you do now? You follow Christ. Maybe you're in this place today and you say, Caleb, I know that I'm a follower of Christ. I know I'm a follower. I believe that Christ died for me. So here's my question to you and to myself and to all of us in this place today. Are you questioning his authority? Are you submitting to his absolute authority? Not just parts of it, not just 95% of it. Are you submitting to his absolute authority? Are you standing on his authority and what the Word of God says? And if you're not this morning, just understand that God wants you to. And that whenever you choose to do that, you don't lose anything. You gain everything. You gain a life that you could never, ever imagine. Life abundant. God, we love you. Thank you for giving us the most perfect leader to follow. He left the beauties of heaven and came to this earth as a humble baby and gave us the perfect life, the perfect example to follow. So God, help us to be a people who would absolutely submit to the authority of Christ, even if it goes against our flesh, against our brains, against even our common sense, against the culture, against what the world is saying. God, help us to do that, because that is what is right and that is what is best. God, thank you for Jesus. Help us to follow him. We love you, God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet?